of Christ this morning. Come on, give Jesus an ovation if you're thankful today. Amen. So today is Sunday number 8, I believe, of this series we've been doing, for better or worse, on marriage. And I'm telling you, we have had such an incredible time with you, just sharing God's truth concerning marriage. And we truly hope that you've been blessed and have learned some things and received some tools to help you grow. And today we just want to give God glory for what he's done over this series. Many times we receive emails that you don't get to hear, but today we want to share with you some of the incredible testimonies of what God's done through this series. Marcia, you want to share one of those?
Yes. God's word works. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It says, thank you so much for taking the time to preach this marriage series, especially this past Sunday. I took some time last night to listen to your message again and read over 1 Peter 2 and 3 again, and I asked myself, what kind of seed have I been sowing? I haven't been sowing crap. Did that for years. You remember that sermon. The crap of anger, bitterness, lying, and cheating. But that was before Christ came in, changed my life, and washed me clean. Hallelujah. I used to insist on a kiss goodbye before my husband would leave for work. You never know when it could be your last, but it had become such a struggle. He would always have something negative to say, so much so that it got to the point that I decided no more. It wasn't worth the daily hassle. I quit trying and I grew weary and I lost heart for my marriage. So what seeds have I been sowing? Seeds of silence, seeds of distance, seeds of separation. He does his thing, I do mine. I've been reaping exactly what I have sown, and Satan loves it. I've learned by your messages that my marriage is to be like my relationship with Christ. It takes time, patience, and prayer. Time in his word and sacrifice to live the kind of life Christ lived. My relationship with Christ is constantly growing and transforming. My marriage should be doing the same.
That's so good.
So good to have revelation, isn't it? It takes work, and I've been on vacation. Change in him starts with change in me. It's time for me to step back up to the plate. I made the vows, for better or for worse. Satan is a liar, and he has no place in my marriage and in my relationship with my husband.
Amen.
Isn't that good? You are responsible for you. Amen.
Here's another one. I'm writing to tell you about not only struggles but triumphs. My wife and I do love each other, but we're not as close as we should be. We get along all right, but sometimes there doesn't seem to be that fire that there once was. We both feel alone living in the same house. I believe that a lot of other couples struggle with this, but just don't want to admit it. I notice that life struggles get in our way. I have known that for quite some time. That if our marriage needs some changing, then I have to make some changes. Your message yesterday confirmed that. I had a winning battle with the devil this morning on my drive to work. I was mad and told him to get away from me, my wife, my kids, my home, and my mindset. I told him that the cycle is broken. I felt a sensation go throughout my body from head to toe that I can't explain. I don't know if it was adrenaline or not. That's called the anointing. It was just plain different. I claim victory over my marriage, telling him that he cannot and is not going to have it in any way. I'm not mentioning divorce because that's not an option and it never was. My wife and I both know that we have to make some changes. We do love each other, but we don't say it enough. Praise God for that testimony today.
Here's one. It says, when I first heard about this series, my thought was, great. Guess I'll go visit another church till that's over. You know, I would never do that, of course. I was totally prepared for Sunday to be hard, but it was great. Loved it, and I'm so excited to hear more. I can't wait to be able to listen to the past message again. This kind of teaching changes lives. It did mine, and it continues to shape it. So glad I am not who I was.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Listen to this one. I've been thinking about your message Sunday, and I have to respond. First of all, no matter what Satan may try to throw at you, these past 2 weeks have been an amazing eye-opener. If I would have had a message delivered to me 25 years ago, like the one you preached Sunday, they're talking about the message shacking. I wouldn't have made the choices I made. So much pain and frustration could have been spared. My husband and I shacked for almost 8 years. What a mess. It was on again, off again, roller coaster. Me as much or more than him. And unfortunately, it caused a lot of scars in our marriage. Sounds very sad, but because of Jesus, we're moving forward. You know, it's not perfect yet and a long way from it, but it's how we're going to finish that matters. Praise God for that today.
Amen. I always listen to church in the morning, and your sequence of better or worse marriage sermons have hit a chord with me. So much of what you've preached gave me an indescribable understanding. Would love to pass this on to my newly married daughter and husband. Thank you.
And I just want to say, is Victoria, are you here today?
I am.
Where are you?
There she yeah. is.
God bless y'all. They're from Dew Short. They're farmers, and they listen to us every Sunday on the broadcast. Let's give them a hand this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being here today. So awesome. Amen. You know, marriage matters to God. And it should, because He created it. It's the most important earthly relationship we're ever going to have in this life.
Absolutely. 94% of us will get married at least once in our life. 75% of those who divorce will remarry within 2 years.
Yeah, marriage is the anchor of the family, and it's the anchor of our society. And marriage literally provides the safety and stability and a fortress. And inside of a healthy, godly, Christ-centered marriage is this courtyard of peace where children and individuals can grow and flourish and become the people that God has created and called us to be as the husband and the wife team that are unstoppable in the eyes of God. The power He's released in you are able to breathe on those individuals created in their likeness and their image and bring about in them a reflection of Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. Good marriages don't just impact who's immediately with us, Randy. They impact our entire community. They impact our entire state and nation, and they impact the kingdom of God in a great way. And so this morning, for our last message, as we bring all this together, we want to talk to you about the vow. Somebody say the vow.
The vow.
Okay? We're going to talk about vows this morning. And here's the thing. During a wedding ceremony, two people come together, and they stand on a stage, and they're all gussied up. Right? They get all dressed up, and they smell good, and they look good. And then they tell each other some special things. And we call those things that they say to each other vows.
And a vow is a solemn promise to do something specific. Specifically, one by which a person is bound to an act, service, or condition. It is an oath. It's a pledge. It's a bond. It is a commitment, a covenant, an insurance. It is a guarantee.
And so the man stands and he makes promises to the woman. And the woman stands. And keeps standing.
And looks awesome.
And makes promises.
Your wife should look awesome to you.
And makes promises back to the man, a pledge we give ourselves to each other.
And those words, we call them vows. They bind our lives together. And this is where the process of becoming one starts.
It starts
with our words.
Yes. And God takes promises serious, doesn't He? That's what I want you to think about today. Today is all about promises. We've sang about it today. It's about commitment. It's about making a vow. And God takes promises extremely serious. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 145, verse 13, it says, "The Lord always keeps His promises." Do you see that at the end there? The Lord always keeps His what?
Promises.
What does the Lord do? He always keeps His promises. Sister Betty, good morning back there. Good morning. Good to see you today. Over your years, you've seen God keep some promises, haven't you? God always keeps His promises. And here's the thing. The entire Bible is a giant vow. It's full of promises. God's made one promise after another in His Word. And the Bible is what He has declared to us and what He has determined that He's going to do for us. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it's one of my favorite scriptures because basically God gives you a blank check. And here's what He says. He says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, He says, "For all the promises of God." Somebody say, "All the promises."
All the promises.
"For all the promises of God in Him," in Jesus, "are maybe." Now He said, what are they? Come on, shout yes.
Yes.
He said, yes. "All the promises of God in Jesus are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us."
Hallelujah, and they're awesome, mighty power promises. We have the promise of Jesus, hallelujah. He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. He's our life giver. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, hallelujah. We have the promise of healing. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer.
So powerful. And He's given us the promise of power. He said in Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." He promised us peace. He promises us peace that passes all understanding. He promises us provision. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to live in one." That God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory. It is the promise of His presence that where two or three get together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. He says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's a promise.
We have a promise of forgiveness. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? We have the promise of answered prayers. He not only hears you, but He answers them. Hallelujah. You have the promise that He will never leave you or forsake you. And
I'm
thankful for that. You are never alone. You've got the promise of victory and deliverance. We're not waiting to win. We've already won. Jesus paid the price. Hallelujah.
Amen. We've got the promise of a kingdom. He said, "It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God." He said, "You're an heir to the throne. You're not only an heir of God, but you're a joint heir with Jesus." That makes Jesus your big brother today. He promised you adoption, amen? And He ain't sending His kids back. He said, "The one that comes to me, I will by no means cast out." He's promised us that He's coming back, hallelujah. He's coming back with the sound of a trumpet and with a shout and the voice of an archangel. And He's going to descend from heaven. And those of us who are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with Him in the clouds. And those of us like Ron Phillips, who we buried yesterday and had his service for him, he's going to go on before us, amen? And we're going to have that heavenly hoedown in the sky. We have the promise that Jesus Christ is coming back for a pure and a spotless and a blood-bought bride. Thank God that you're a part of that today, amen?
Yes, amen. I'm thankful for that. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "God has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature."
So we serve a God who doesn't just give us a vow or a promise. He gives us a great promise.
That's right.
And it's through the power of promise we get to become partakers of not a life like anything you've seen, but of His life. He says, "You get to live my life. You got the life of God living inside of you." And watch this in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. I love this. It says, "Praise the Lord who has given rest to His people Israel, just as He promised." Not one word has failed of all the wonderful promises He gave through His servant Moses. If they were in a covenant where God didn't let one word fall to the ground, and the Bible says we're in a better covenant with better blood, a better sacrifice, on better promises, how much more is He going to ensure that His promises come to pass in your life as a blood-bought believer? Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. Watch this one. I love this. "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Mark chapter 13, verse 31, Jesus Himself said this. He said, "Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my words, my vows, my promises will by no means pass away."
And in Psalms 89, verse 34, it says, "My covenant I will not break." No matter what's going on in your life, He gives you a word to stand on. He will not break His covenant. And it goes on in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, and says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and he will not make good?
Yeah, here's the deal. If God said it, he'll do it. And you can take it to the bank. I love that saying that Brother Hagin used so much. If God said it, I believe it, and that
settles it.
If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Let's say it today. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. In other words, God's word is true, and he's not in the business of breaking promises. In Psalm 138, verse 2, he said that he's magnified his word above his name. Here's why. Because if your word's no good, your name's no good. But God's name is good, and it is the name above every name, and at that name every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And it's only through that name and that name alone that there is salvation and deliverance and healing and wholeness for our lives and purpose for living. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Angie, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love that. Jesus is. Somebody say that today. Jesus is. What is Jesus? He's the same.
That's right.
He's the same yesterday, today, and he's the same forever. That means the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means if the Word was good yesterday, it's still good for today, and it'll still be good tomorrow. Thank God there is no expiration date on the promises like your milk. Amen?
Amen.
That means if the Word of God was true yesterday, it'll still be true and it'll today, and it'll still be true tomorrow. If the Word was powerful yesterday, it's still powerful today. It's still relevant today. It's still life-changing today. I'm thankful for a God who keeps his promises, that I can count on him, that he says what he means and he means what he says. And that God is the one coming back for you and for me. And the Bible says he's going to climb up on top of a big white stallion, and his name, the guy who's riding that pony, his name is Faithful and True. Thank God today that we serve a God who keeps his promises. Amen.
Amen. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. I don't know about you, but we stand strong on the Word of God. Amen. I know I've got a house full here at Victory that are anchored to that rock. They're not going to be wavered. Amen.
Hallelujah. And we're to be imitators of God. So the point of all those scriptures was to say to you that God keeps his word, and we're to be imitators of God as dear children. So what are we to be? People of our word. Is keeping our promises important to God?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is keeping our vows important to God?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Listen to this. In 1519, Cortez landed on the beaches of Mexico. He commanded all the troops off onto the new ground, so they unloaded all the supplies. And then he gave a shocking command, burn the ships. Can you imagine what all those workers thought? How are we going to give back? That's our ship. But he said, burn them. Because Cortez wanted his message to be unmistakable. We are never going back. The success of their mission was not an option. It was a necessity. They were to make a new life in a new land. And we are here for a new life in a new world, and we are never going back. That is a beautiful picture of what marriage is supposed to be. When you say these vows today, you are declaring that I am never going back. We're burning the ships. Come hell or high water, I am in this, and we're going to finish this thing together. No matter what was in our past, no matter what comes our way, we are committed. The ship is burned, and we are never, never, say it with me, never going back.
Amen. So today, when you renew your vows, that's what this is all about. We're burning the ships today. There is no other option. We're saying that from this day forward, from this moment forward, from right now, somebody say, from this moment. From this moment. And I'm not singing a Shania Twain song. She's a Canadian anyway. God bless you if you're Canadian. We love you. Don't get under condemnation. Jesus' blood is for you too. But from this moment, we are never, ever, ever going back. And today, we're drawing a line in the sand, and we're saying what's in the past is in the past. What's forgiven has been forgotten. We will not allow the past to ruin another day. We will not allow our past to influence another conversation. We will not allow our past to steal another second that God has called us to enjoy. We're not backing down. We're not looking for a bailout. We're not looking for some other option. What I love about those stories was that story was Cortez had 600 men. They were not warriors. They were not equipped what they had gone there to do. And when he burnt the ships, there was nothing left they could do but die or go forward. And that's where we're at today. We're saying today that we are never, ever, ever going back like the Apostle Paul did.
Yes. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. We're not looking back, but we've got our hand fixed to that plow and we're marching forward. Amen.
Amen. And somebody needs to hear this today because you're renewing your vows. Not only are we going to renew our vows to each other, but we're going to renew our vows to the Lord today. And so today is one of those draw a line in the sand kind of mornings and make up your mind who you're going to be and where you're going to stand and let the past be gone and embrace the new day God's given us and make sure that you understand that this is my time to leave the hurts and the habits and the hang-ups and the hindrances that have been holding us back. From this day forward, we're going to begin again. We're going to start fresh. We're going to start new. We're going to date again. We're going to talk again. We're going to celebrate life and love and each other again. We're going to love like we've never been hurt. And here's the deal. We're going to live every single day of our lives like it's our last, because you never know. I want to kiss you every single time like it's my last time. I want to say, wow, I love you every single time. Amen. No, I'm for real about this. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Amen. What if we lived with this kind of mentality and we let the ships be burned and we say, today may be all there is, so I'm going to give it everything God's given me and I'm going to live in the now. I'm going to love in the now. I'm going to sing in the now. I'm going to give in the now. I'm going to hug you like it's the last. I'm going to freak some people out when I hug them like it's the last time I ever hug them. But here's the deal. What if we live life that way? That's a life with no regrets. Amen. Burn the ships, baby.
Amen.
And understand that from this day forward, 1 + 1 = 1. That's marriage math. And so today, here's what we want to do. For all of you who want to renew your vows today, I want to make absolutely clear, this is for those of you who are already married, okay? For already married. Don't think you're going to slip one in on God and be married in the eyes of God, but not in the eyes of the state. No. Okay? If you want to get married, we'll marry you. Anybody bring a marriage license today? Okay. You're already hitched, buddy. Okay, so here's what we want to do. All of you who signed up and the ones who have talked to me, I need all the ladies to stand up. All the ladies, I think there's 40-some of you, stand up, and I want you to go out to the lobby. I need all the men of the ladies who just walked out to the lobby to come and line up across the front here, right across this brown stripe.
Look at these men in full suits, ties, looking good for the ladies.
It's never too late to bolt, gentlemen.
Probably all nervous, got sweaty hands.
Congregation, would you rise for the entrance of our brides today? Please make sure you go to your husband. Somebody asked if they could pick a new one. Congregation, you may be seated today.
How many of you have never been married in a church? How many of you up here? Were you married in the church or?
Awesome.
We're not married in a church.
So cool. Special day. See another hand down there. Gentlemen, I'm going to ask you a question, and if your response is yes, then at the end of my question, I'd like you to affirm to your bride, I do. Do you take this woman to be your wedded wife, to be a husband and to her according to the word and commandments of God in the holy estate of marriage? Do you covenant this day to love her, comfort her, honor and keep her, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto her, so long as you both shall live? If so, please say, I do.
Ladies, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to ask you a question. If you affirm, please say, I do. Do you take this man to be your wedded husband, to be a wife unto him, according to the word and the commandments of God in the holy estate of marriage? Do you covenant this day to love him, honor and respect him, and forsaking all others, keeping yourself only unto him as long as you both shall live? If so, please say, I do.
And by the way, I do.
I do.
Makes it kind of tricky when you're the preacher and you get married. I want you to join hands if you haven't already and look into each other's eyes. You remember the first time you did this? And I want you gentlemen to repeat after me. Today, I take you all over again as my wife. I will be your husband according to God's word. And with his help and Christ as my example, I commit my life, all that I am, all that I will ever be, to encourage you, to promote you, to assure you, to support you, to cherish you, and to appreciate you as the most valuable earthly gift God has ever given me. I will treat you kind and tender. I will honor you and respect you. I will provide for you. I will protect you. I will pray for you. And I will encourage you. I will put your needs before my own. And I will do my best to love you like Jesus loves his church. I will lay down my life to lift you up. I will love you and treasure you. In good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, in times of poverty and in times of plenty, till death do us part.
Ladies, if you'd repeat after me, I take you to be my husband. I will be a wife to you, according to God's word. With his help, I commit my life, all that I am, all that I would ever be, to encourage, promote, reassure, support, cherish, and appreciate you as the most valuable earthly gift God has ever given me. I will honor and esteem you as the head of our home. I will stand by your side and support you through the challenges of life. My endeavor shall always be to make for us a home where love and peace abide. I will pray for you, encourage you, believe in you, and prefer you before myself. I will love, respect, and treasure you in good times and in bad, in sickness and health, in times of poverty and plenty, till death do us part.
We now charge you in the presence of Almighty God that each of you love, honor, and cherish one another all the days of your life, that you faithfully fulfill the vows you have made here this day, and that you regard them as sacred and holy for the rest of your lives.
May God's love be the essence of your relationship, and his word be the guide by which you walk. God has a plan and the purpose for the two of you. You are now one in name, and one in aim.
And what God has joined together, let not man separate. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus, and we praise you for each and every couple that has renewed their vow today and their commitment. I pray for each man, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we would be a reflection of Christ to our families. That, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your anointing would be strong and your presence would be real. I pray for genuine and authentic men who are unashamed and unafraid to be described as gentle, to be described as men who are meek in the eyes of the Lord, as men who are godly, as men who are the real thing. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask right now that you would anoint each and every one of these men to be the head of their home and to lead and lay down their lives the way that you do for the church, and we thank you for it.
And Father, we lift up these women to you. I ask that you reveal yourself to them more, that you would guide them and direct them and show them the Proverbs 31 woman, that they would be a woman that's after you first, God, and that they would love their husbands and their families, that you would guide them in every way. Give them wisdom on how to raise their children and how to take care of their home, Lord. Let them be the woman of God that they've called to be, that they not hold on to anything in the past, that they would forgive and forget about it, but they would be a woman of God full of love and joy and peace, and that they make their home a sanctuary for their family. And we thank you for these women, Lord. Anoint them, use them, just fill them with your strength and peace, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Having heard your vows in the presence of God and these witnesses,
I now pronounce you again husband and wife. You may kiss your bride, gentlemen. Praise God. You can make your way back to your seats. He said, when's the honeymoon?
Did anybody see that kiss I got? I thought I was going to get one like it was the very last time. If that's my last kiss, I'm really disappointed.
I'll give you that. Don't ask me twice. I practice what I preach.
I'm not disappointed now.
Well, Yahoo.
Wow.
If you are single and you signed up for a vow today, I want you to come down front. Even if you're single and you didn't sign up, but you want to burn the ships today and you want to come down and commit yourself, I want you to come down. Come on. Let's see, we've got at least one. That's all. If that's all, it's all worth it. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Sarah. Is there somebody else? Praise God for our singles. Amen. Is there anybody else? Amen. Thank you, Stacy. Is there anybody else? We got something coming. Anybody else? Thank you, Amy. Come on, Sam. Thank you. So proud of you. All right. Psalm 25:21 says this. It says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. I wait for you."
If you'd repeat after me, God has made me in His image. My Father in heaven created my body to be a vessel of His glory and a temple for His Spirit. I believe His plan is the best plan for me. With His help and through the power of prayer of His Spirit too, I surrender my life, all that I am, to His will, perfect plan, and eternal purpose. I give myself to Jesus Christ, the one who gave Himself to me, and I will keep myself for the one He has made for me.
I commit to love God above all else and pursue His purpose for my life. I will not settle for anything less than my Father's best. I am valuable. I am precious, I am special, and I am created just like my King. I am an heir to His throne. Above all else, I am loved by God, and I love myself. I deserve to be loved the way Jesus loves me. And although I do not know you yet, I will be praying for you and preparing myself for the day we meet. Congregation, would you reach your hands toward them? Let's pray today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each of these single people that have come and stood before your people today declaring that they want to burn the ships, that, Father, they are looking to you, Jesus especially, to be the source and strength of their lives. And Father, in that plan, we believe that you have somebody special for them, somebody that can love them the way they deserve to be loved, and somebody they can enjoy this life with. And so, Father, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would protect and keep them. We ask that you would help them to stand strong and stay pure. We apply the blood of Jesus over them. We bind every evil alliance and every attack of the enemy that would come against their lives. God, give them discernment. Let them know what relationships to be in and which relationships to avoid. And we thank you for guiding their steps with clear and unmistakable direction into your perfect will and destiny for their lives until the day they meet that spouse. And God, we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give God praise for our singles today. You can return to your seats. Now, here's the thing. For all of us today, we're going to renew our vow to Jesus Christ. You remember the day you accepted the Lord as your Savior? And when you call on the name of the Lord, you're burning the ships.
There is nothing back there in the past for you, but you're going forward. And it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Anybody thankful for that? Amen. This morning? And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus made it clear. He said, nobody having put their hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What was he talking about, John? He was saying, burn the ships. There's nothing back there for me. Amen? And I'm thankful for that today, that we have plenty of life in Christ. We don't need to look back.
Yes, and just like a marriage, our relationship with Christ begins with a vow, a confession, a verbal declaration. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord.
So our relationship with Jesus Christ begins with a declaration, a confession. It begins with a vow, calling on the name of Jesus as our Savior. Now this morning, we're going to be receiving communion together. And here's the thing about communion. Communion is a vow. It's the greatest declaration that, Lord, I'm in you and you're in me and we're one. And I'm partaking of your body, of your sacrifice, of your body and blood, and of what you've done for me. And here's the thing. At Victory Church, you don't need to be a member of this church to take communion. But you do need to be a member of the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. And I'm not a member of God's church because I go to church. I'm a member of God's church because I believe in his son, Jesus. Amen? I'm a member of God's church today because I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm a member of God's church because I've repented of my sin. It means I was going in one direction, but I've turned around and now I'm headed in the other. I'm no longer walking away from God. Now I'm moving toward him. Being a part of the church means I've made a confession that Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. You're my master. And I will serve you. And I thank you for saving me. How many of you have made that decision in your life to follow Jesus Christ? Amen. Thank God for what he's done in us today. You're being served communion this morning. And I'm going to give you a minute to just take some time to reflect. And then we're going to make our vow, renew our vow to Jesus today. And then we're going to partake of communion. Maybe you're here today and you say, Josh, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of my life, but today I want to. Friend, you can. There is not a thing stopping you. That's what I love about the kingdom of God. He says, come one, come all. Why Jesus died with his arms open. The invitation still stands open. And if you're here today and maybe you say, Josh, I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior, but today I want to. Today I want to make him Lord in my life. Maybe you're here today and you say, Josh, I walked with the Lord at one time, but I walked away, and today I want to come home. Friend, he's the Father that's always home, and his arms are open wide. And in just a minute, when we make this vow together, just like we did for the marriages, I want you to repeat it, because that's what the Bible says it takes, believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. With the heart, one believes, amen? And with the mouth, confession is made. That's what takes care of our salvation. Okay, here's what I want. I want you to stand with me today. Check this out. What you hold in your hands, a piece of bread, is symbolic of the body of Jesus Christ. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He said, "I want you to do this, what we're doing today, in remembrance of me." Jesus is going to the cross where he's going to die for our sin. He's saying, "Whatever you do, don't forget what I'm doing for you. Whatever you do, don't forget what I'm about to do for you." And then he takes the cup and he blesses it. And it's grape juice. And it represents his blood. And the Bible says there's life in the blood. Our life is in our blood. And our life spiritually is in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when we take this, what we're saying is, "Jesus, I believe that you made that sacrifice for me. And I want what you have for me. I want what you paid for me. I want it all. And that's why I'm feeding and feasting on you. Because you are the one who strengthens and sustains me." And the Bible says, "For with the heart," somebody say heart, "one believes." You believe out of your heart. Your heart's your believer. It says you believe unto righteousness. But with your mouth, Woody, confession is made unto salvation. And so if you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth, the Bible says it seals salvation in your life. And so I want you to repeat these words after me today. Again, if you're renewing your vow to Christ, praise God. And if you have never given your life to Jesus, you're about to do that right now. I'm not praying for you, I'm praying with you. I'm not a priest. I don't represent you to God. Jesus does. Amen? And you don't need to feel dirty or ashamed or whatever, because here's the thing, everybody comes to the cross the same way. Dirty. Amen? And the blood of Jesus makes you clean. Let him make you whole today. I want you to repeat after me. Jesus,
Jesus,
I believe
you are
the Son of God.
Son of God.
Born of a virgin. Lived a sinless life. Died on the cross.
As the substitute.
For my sin.
I believe.
You were buried.
In a borrowed tomb.
But 3 days later. God raised you. From the dead. I believe.
In the Holy Spirit.
And his.
Abiding presence.
And mighty power.
Working in me.
Working through me.
I believe.
My salvation.
Is by grace.
It is a free gift.
Not based on what I've done.
But built.
On what you did.
I believe.
In the church.
That we are.
The salt of the earth.
We are.
The light of the world.
And I surrender.
My life to you.
All that I am.
All that I have.
I lay down my life.
As my gift.
Back to you.
I will gladly.
Follow you.
No matter the cost.
No matter the call,
I will love you
and I will obey you
and I will live my life
to honor your name.
I will freely
give my life
as a gift
of gratitude
for the great gift
you gave to me.
Jesus,
today
I commit
my life
to you
and I'm happy.
I'm happy
to call you
Savior,
friend,
Redeemer,
healer,
baptizer,
and most importantly,
you are now
and forever will be
my Lord.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Now let me ask you, is there anybody here today who prayed that for the first time and made that declaration, or you say, "Today I'm coming back home. I've burned the ships and I'm back. Is there anybody here today? Slip up your hand. I see you. I see you. I see you. Is there somebody else? I see you there. Is there another one here today? I see you there. Is there another one? I see you. I see you. Is there another one today? Come on. Angels are rejoicing. I see you. Is there another one here today? I see you, brother. Welcome home. Is there another one? Is there another one today? Praise God. Bible says heaven has just erupted in praise. The angels are having a party, amen, for just one that repents of their sin and says, I'm coming home. I'm burning the ships. I'm not looking back. I'm living for Jesus Christ. I have decided to follow Christ. Come on, church, let's praise God for that this morning, amen? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take communion together. All right, you ready? Thursday's a big meal. This one's a whole lot bigger. Y'all seen power bars, right? And they're little and they're packed. Dr. Horn's back there nodding. Yeah, I got some power bars. They're packed full of nutrients. Check. I know it looks like a chiclet, but there is power in what you're about to take. When you put it in your mouth, you release your faith to receive everything God's got for you. And I believe there's going to be an explosion on the inside of you and a release of the life of God. Are you ready for that this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what your son did for us. Thank you, Jesus, for the broken body. How could we ever forget? Today, Father, in the name of Jesus, we partake and we receive gladly and we rejoice, not only in the body, but in the shed blood today. God, we give you glory. Thank you that old things have passed away and all things have become new, and we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We love you and we're forever grateful and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, you may partake of the bread and the cup today. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for that release. Thank you for provision today. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, Lord, for your life. Thank you, Lord, for eternal life. Thank you for abundant life. Thank you for lifting the burden and breaking the bondage off of our lives. Thank you for marriages, God, that are made whole. I thank you for healing in families this week. I pray that this would be the greatest Thanksgiving that we have ever experienced. I pray for reconciliation. I pray for restoration in families. I pray for wholeness, God, in the name of Jesus. I bind and I break and I rebuke every attack of Satan that is coming against families today. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, God, that this week there will be fellowship. There will be reunion, Father, that there will be love, God, in the name of Jesus. And that most of all, we would be a thankful people, giving you glory all week long. And God, we give you praise as we walk out of here today. We're thankful for your son. We're thankful for your sacrifice. We're thankful that we get to be a part of the church because of what you did for us. Let us not waste your grace toward us. But Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray right now that this week you would use us to share your love and your life and your light with somebody else who needs to know you care. And God, we thank you right now that we are world changers. In Jesus' name we pray. We declare no weapon formed against us shall prosper. God, we give you glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. And all God's people said, amen. If you didn't hear me say it yet, we thank God for each and every single one of you. We love you so much. Visitors, again, we've got a gift for you. Thanks so much for being here today. Victory, would you let our visitors know today how much we love them? Listen, if you accepted Jesus as your Savior today, that prayer is not the end, it's the beginning of a brand new life. And you've got a family who will love you and support you and stand by your side in a place where you can grow, get connected, stay connected, and become that person God's called you to be.